When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning. It is time to get up with How About Them Cowboys? Jerry playing crossword puzzles. What message is he sending ahead of the game of the year? Meanwhile, Mac looking whack and catching flack. But we'll talk smack and tell you exactly who really deserves all the criticism. Plus, oh, Aaron, did you hear what he said he plans to do? There's only one question, and that is, can even he possibly do it? We've got all the answers as we get up with you. It starts right now. Let's go. The Wednesday spot is fired up. Swagoo is feeling it today. Kmart's ready to roll. Meek is here. Jeff Saturday is here. All the baseball playoff action is on the way, but we begin by getting you set for week 5 in the NFL. There's so many things we need to find out this weekend. Kmart, what are we going to find out this weekend that you need to know?
I just want to know, Greeny, is Zach Wilson really the guy? I think he could be. He had a really good performance, best performance of his career. So if he can build on that, they're going to make Sean Payton pay.
In the Jets Super Bowl in Denver this weekend. Swagoo, what are we going to find out this weekend you need to know?
Is it time to write off the Cincinnati Bengals? Mm. Listen, I think this Joe Burrow injury is a lot more than what we seem to think it is when it comes to how this offense can operate. I think Zach Taylor is limited in what Joe Burrow can do in this offense. You can't put him under center. Play action is working at a very high level right now. And you heard Jamar Chase say he's always open. I just don't know if they can get the ball to him consistently enough to win games. Cincinnati Bengals are in trouble, man.
It's a mess in Cincinnati. Dominique, what do you need to know this weekend?
Is Justin Fields going to continue to build on what we saw last week? Despite the late game mistakes that he made, he was impressive. He threw for 300 yards, and he showed that he can operate this offense. And the offensive coordinator showed that he was willing to put Justin Fields in positions where he could succeed. So the question is, can they build on what they've done up until this point?
Short week, Chicago. They play the Commanders tomorrow night. Jeff Saturday, what are you looking forward to this weekend?
How physical can Dallas's defense be? Listen, the matchup of the week, the matchup of the season so far, are these two teams, can they match the physicality of the San Francisco 49ers? We understand McCaffrey's going to get almost 40% of the touches, whether it's in the run game or in the screen game, passing game, whatever you want to look at it, however you want to look at it. Can this Dallas defense match that? We saw them get pounced, you know, just trounced against the Cardinals. They ran up and down the field of over 150 yards in the first half. We saw how that game turned out. Listen, they're not even close to being where that San Francisco offense is. So looking forward to that game.
Feels like the game of the season.
Absolutely.
So far. And Jerry Jones playing some of his usual word games on the radio yesterday. Here's what he said ahead of this matchup with the Niners on Sunday
night. They are right now probably the most likely team to go in the Super Bowl. But in order for them to get there, they've got to go by us, hopefully two times, if that's the way it falls in the playoffs. And we're in the playoffs, of course. But the bottom line is that you're playing the best. There's no reason, physically, no reason scheme-wise, that we shouldn't go out there and play well enough to win a football game.
So no one knows how to sell a matchup better than Jerry Jones does. It's the game of the year, right? This to this point is the game of the year. My beloved former Cowboy with the look of anticipation on his face. What is at stake for Jerry Jones and Dallas on Sunday night?
That was my first time hearing that sound. I haven't heard Jerry say something like that that made all the sense in the world.
I was going to say, that was the smartest thing I've ever heard Jerry say. Yeah.
What's at stake for him is really about their psyche and their mindset going throughout the rest of this season. This is the hump, man. Like, we all know what has transpired in the playoffs. But even in the regular season, when you think about all of the questions that surround Dallas when they lose to San Francisco, think about it, y'all. We talk about Dallas ad nauseum, right? Rightfully so. This is America's team. We talk about this team a lot. But all of the conversation shifts after they play the San Francisco 49ers or after they have a bad performance. But this is the team that is the Giants standing in their face. And I don't know, right? Jeff, you know this, Neek, Foxy, as players, it's always somebody.
Yeah.
out there that you got to get over in order to in your mind say, okay, now we can start going on a roll with the idea that we could really get this whole thing done. I think this is a must win for Dallas from that standpoint. Not playoff implications, none of that. A must win for the psychological part of it, coming off of a win, a dominant performance against the
Patriots. That's fascinating to me because at the beginning of the season, you said to me, doesn't matter what Dak does in the regular season, it's all about the playoffs. But this game feels different, right?
This
feels
is one
like
of those
a legitimate
moments.
Test.
This is one of those moments.
And so when styles make fights, sometimes amongst the better teams, one just has the other's number. And, Jeff, obviously, you were on all those great Indianapolis Colts teams all through that period of time there, and you had that.
Yeah, listen, it's interesting. People talk about the Patriots and the Ravens, and we had some great battles with those, but we kind of went back and forth. You know who had our number? The Chargers. San Diego Chargers, for whatever reason, they had our number. And whether it's a regular season, a playoff, they knocked us out in 07 and 08 out of the playoffs. I think one time they were a 9-game win team. We were like 12 or 13,
yes.
And we'd go out to San Diego and end up beating us. But to your point, just the matchups, for whatever reason, they could rush the passer really well. They had a great back end. Cromartie would have picks all the time. I mean, it was just – it was that thing. And like you said, you go out there, and for whatever – it's not that you think they're a better team, but for whatever reason, they just matched up well against us. Physically, they would beat us. But at the end of the game, it was always close. They found a way to make the plays that we didn't.
So what is it? What is it about the 49ers that gives them that edge over the Cowboys?
Yeah, I don't think that there's anything specific on the field. I think the 49ers are a very good team. 49ers are hard to play for everybody.
Right.
It's just so happened that the Cowboys have come up on the wrong side a number of times, and that's where the psychological impact comes on it. They're not so much better than the Cowboys or so
Agreed.
Much better coached or so many better players that they can't beat them. It just so happens that they've come up to them in big games and lost. And that's why this game is really important.
Yep.
That's why this game is bigger than just home field advantage or just regular season. It's also about saying, there's no magic to this. There's nothing special about them. They can bleed too.
But here, think about it. The Cowboys spanked the Patriots, and what was one of the first questions Dak was asked? So, when you play these guys, take us back. Take us back to how disappointed you were, how frustrated you were. And Dak's looking at him like, did you not just see what I did out there?
Yeah.
That because this game is so much bigger than they beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
This is the narrative around the Cowboys, and the expectations of what everyone thinks they are capable of changes. And it's not a home game. If they are able to go on the road, beat the 49ers, then the questions about Dak, they don't die down. But they do quiet a little bit because you've seen him do it.
So it feels to me, and Jeff brought it up at the very beginning, we started this conversation by asking, can the Dallas defense hold up physically against a team that wants to play a physical style offensively if they need to? Marcus, just to make sure everyone understands, that Cowboy defense is built to play from in front.
Yep.
They're built to get after the quarterback, unleash the hounds, and you know all of that stuff. Against San Francisco, it's very hard to do that. Their defense is good. You're probably not going to be up two scores in the third quarter. Can that defense stand up if they need to physically?
I think they can, but your stars got to come to the party, right? There's got to be a Micah Parsons game. When we think about the San Francisco 49ers, it's always a Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw and Bosa game when they play against the Dallas Cowboys. I understand that Trayvon Diggs is out, but that doesn't matter anymore. The San Francisco 49ers don't care about that, and nobody else in the league cares about that. But, G, I know you asked a question about defense.
Yeah.
Let's take the defense off the screen.
Okay.
This is about number four.
About that.
Like, this has nothing to do with the Dallas defense. As much as we talk about how good the San Francisco 49ers offense is, they scored 19 points in the playoff game last year. That is a good day for an NFL defense to give up 19 points to the San Francisco 49ers. I said it before the season, G, and you mentioned it. This is going to be about moments for Dak Prescott. This game is one of those moments.
Yep.
The Arizona Cardinal game, throwing an interception in the red zone, end of the game. That's a moment. You 0-1 in them. Like, this is going to come down to you. We always ask the question, can you go above just fitting into a perfect script and become the guy as to why the script changed or the narrative changed for your football team? This is your first opportunity to do that against San Francisco, whose defense is going to still be there when you get in the playoffs.
They know that Micah Parsons and that D-line is good. They're not going to come out there and do 5, 6, 7-step drops. That's not their game anyway.
Yep.
So they're going to try to take that D-line out of the game. The secondary and the linebackers are going to have to cover and tackle.
Tackle.
Tackle well. But on the other side of the ball, this is one of those times where it is not hyperbolic just to put all the pressure on the quarterback, because that's what we're looking at. That's what we expect. At some point, you're going to get in the red zone. We're going to need you to make something special happen. If it's CD, if it's whoever, we're going to need you to make something special happen, because that's going to be the decision. That's going to be the conversation.
I got two defensive guys. I can't believe I'm hearing what y'all saying. Y'all done lost y'all's freaking minds up there, man. Listen, the defense, everybody talked about for the last 4 weeks, this team, you said it, this team ain't about Dak Prescott no more.
Oh,
this
no.
team's about defense now. It's about defense are going to win this championship. Defense going to carry it. And the first time we play a big game, we put all, hey, it's all about number four. It can't go back and forth. It's got to be about this defense.
Listen,
if we talk about Dan Quinn and this defense
glasses.
Putting this thing what it is, they have to step up against this football team and shut them down. Here's the deal.
Jim.
It ain't the same team that only scored 19 last year either. Let me just say, this is a much better offense. It is a much better, and they are humming. They are running it right. McCaffrey's playing much better. The offensive line is, Purdy is lighting it up. This is not the same team that they played last year. They have got to control the tempo of this game to give that offense a chance. Because you're telling me, as good as Dallas's defense is, you said it, Bosa, Greenlaw, Warner. They got some freaking dudes on that guy. That, I mean, it ain't going to be like a defense you can just go walk up and down the field on.
All right.
That's tough sledding.
Okay, I get it. Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Who the last teams to beat the San Francisco 49ers why did they win those games?
Right.
It wasn't defense, Jeff.
Right. But
it was.
But that's not the team that you're seeing this year with San Francisco. Their offense to me is much more explosive and will put you last year.
Yeah.
You weren't nearly as scared of 49ers offense as you are this year.
Okay. We got to come back to this.
The 49ers got knocked out last year because they literally didn't have a quarterback standing at the end of their season against Philadelphia.
And
the year before they got knocked out by a higher scoring Rams team. And what was a very good
in the Super Bowl, they got knocked out by Patrick Mahomes.
So
there's a theme here.
All right, we're going to come back to all of this, and Kmart will dive in on the psychology of all of it. But I know what you all spent your whole day doing yesterday, watching postseason baseball on ESPN. Let's run you through it. Wild card game ones in Philadelphia. Zach Wheeler struck out 8 Marlins, gave up just one run in a 4-1 Phillies victory. That's Nick Castellanos with 2 hits, including an RBI double. Look at Bryce Harper knocking off his helmet. Steamrolling past the stop sign. Phillies win game one. In Milwaukee, Gabriel Moreno giving Arizona the lead for good with that tie-breaking home run in the fourth. Then in the fifth, it was Evan Longoria protecting the lead, robbing Tyrone Cole with the bases loaded, turning it into a double play. Diamondbacks beat the Brewers 6-3. Let's go to Minnesota. Royce Lewis hit 2 home runs and drove in all 3 runs as the Twins beat the Blue Jays 3-1. Lewis, the third player ever to homer in each of his first 2 career postseason plate appearances. Twins were in their first playoff game in 19 years. And then finally, only friends and family in attendance in Tampa. Jordan Montgomery pitched 7 shutout innings and helped his own cause with that diving catch.
No big fella.
Rangers shut out the Rays 4-0. Tampa 4 errors. They've now lost 6 straight postseason games. And the action continues today. 4 games to start game 2s, starting with Rangers and Rays. 3 Eastern on ABC, and then you see the rest of your schedule taking it all the way through to primetime tonight on ESPN, Marlins and Phillies. By the way, can someone assess this for me? Swagoo, so you got the fanatic, right? He's dancing with an umpire, right? Kind of getting into it, right? We're all good here, but wait just a minute.
It's not an umpire.
No, sir.
It's this guy.
This is what set BMB's back. these situations right here is why people don't take us seriously. When we do great things on Skit Sports, and we have high feet, and then we have a BMB go out and represent like this.
The tan line is killing me.
He didn't need to put a P on his belly because he's shaped like a P. He is a P.
Kmart, the first thing you noticed was the tan lines?
Yeah, I'm trying not to look at the rest of it.
I must admit,
wobbling.
The man boobs were kind of what jumped out at me. All right, as we continue. Roger that. Aaron has an ambitious goal. Did you hear what he wants to do? Is it possible that he could do it this season? We'll talk about it. Plus, is Bill to blame for Mac Jones' failures in Foxborough? Do the Patriots need a new quarterback? Can they still turn it around? We're dishing out the blame. And then we're also dishing out the cakes. Jeff Saturday,
yep.
Hand in the mouth, sat him down is coming up in this hour as we get up with you.
That's right, Flagoo.
On ESPN.
Oh, I got you. I got you. I'm supportive.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. And we are back on Get Up, and it is time for First Kimpressions. Kimberly Martin making her way rapidly into the shot.
Okay, my mic is literally...
All right, and she's ready to go. What was your Kimpression of Justin Fields against Denver?
So Justin Fields, 335 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, a wonderful day, and yet still they lost. The Bears make me sad because he has this. You see how it could look, and yet still you don't feel good about the Bears. So he was great. Bears, not so much.
Yeah, we'll see them tomorrow night against Washington. How about Lamar Jackson? What was your impression?
I was at this game, Green. Lamar Jackson, is there anything he can't do? I feel like his throw to Mark Andrews in the end zone just was the perfect icing on the cake. This guy, they have so many injuries at their wide receiver position, and yet still Lamar Jackson proves that he can do it all. Really like the Ravens right now.
They're the only team in that division that looks at what we expected them to be.
Right.
How about Mac Jones against the Cowboys?
Greeny. Patriots make me so sad. So sad. Mac did not look good. Belichick did not look good. There are questions about whether Bailey Zappi should start right now. I don't know what is happening in New England, but not enough good things are happening. That's what I know.
But one of the things that is happening is Bill Belichick is starting to hear a lot of criticism, including here from Robert Griffin III yesterday. Listen.
This comes down to coaching. In year 2,
preach,
Bill Belichick messed up his young quarterback. Huh? When you give him a defensive coordinator and a special teams coordinator as his offensive coordinator,
yep,
and now he's on his 3rd coordinator in 3 years in the NFL, that is, to me, the epitome of a coaching malpractice.
Yeah.
And Bill Belichick's one of the greatest coaches we've ever seen. He's arguably the greatest coach of all time in NFL history. But he really overthought this, and it's hurt Mac Jones permanently, in my opinion.
So permanently is a big word there. There was a lot of criticism of Bill Belichick being thrown around. And you know what? For the first time, I think it's going to stick. The phrase, "in Bill we trust," has been very popular around New England for a long time. We basically give him a pass on every decision he makes that seems questionable because of all the success he's had. Candidly, I feel like that is running out. The personnel decisions, the way he handled this quarterback situation last year, this stuff goes to Bill.
It's gone. Gee, it's fine. It's fine to say Bill Belichick had one of the greatest runs and he may be one of the greatest coaches or is the greatest coach to ever coach in the NFL. It's gone. He's not anymore. And the reason why is because there's two things. I agree with RG and what he said about how Mac Jones has been screwed over. We watch football. Like, the thing that I respect so much about analysts here at ESPN, we actually go and watch the games after they go off on TV. Mm-hmm. And we try to look. That offense, Jeff and Foxy, that offense is the offenses we played against when we were in the league. And you can't play football like that anymore. Yeah. It does. You have to have fast guys. You either have to have a dominant guy on the outside. You have to have intricacies about your offense that confuses people. We see all of this motion at the start of the snap. All of this motion, putting people in different places, changing your slot receivers. We see all of these things happen.
Yeah.
When I played football, you could line up and knew a team was going to run it 40 times a game. And you had to be big and stout, and you didn't need long-rangey linebackers. You didn't need cornerbacks that were big, that could fly around the field. You didn't need defensive linemen that can get after it. This offense right here, this is throwback, dude. Yeah. And nobody in the NFL is worried about – I'm not talking about Mac. I ain't talking about Bill or Bill O'Brien. I'm talking about scheme, period.
Right.
This is old football, and I don't know if it's passed him by or not.
Yeah, I told you, you're like, well, they got good tight ends. I was like, welcome to 1999. Like, I get it. Right? Like, I mean, I didn't know you said that.
Hunter Henry and Mike Gesicki, but yeah, that's
which
about
is,
it.
Which
yeah.
is great. But listen, they go two tight end sets. They're still 28th in the league in rushing at 3.4 yards a carry. So even when they're doing what you expect them to be able to do, they're not doing it proficiently. And I think to your point, I said this before this season started. What and you and I talked about it yesterday. What scares you on that offense? Ain't that listen?
Ain't a tight end. I tell you that much.
Yeah, the defense is playing with their hair on fire, and it's like you're trying to drink from a fire hose. If you're the O line, if you're the quarterback trying to figure out where blitz is going to come, because what they're going to risk it all because they don't care. They're not afraid of what you can do. And to the point of big plays being the move of the NFL, it's the only way you win in the NFL. It's the most predicting factor right now.
What really made Bill Belichick special was he was going to give you the slight edge. And that was going to get you over the hump. I'm not saying that he's lost that, but they're not good enough for that to matter.
Right.
So that's presuming that you are within the neighborhood of the teams that you are playing. Then that 1% that Bill Belichick's coaching is going to give you that motion off the side to go block a field goal, that's going to get you a win in those situations. However, you got to take care the other 99% of the game, and they aren't doing that. And your point about the offense is a huge point.
It is also reasonable, the beginning of that sentence, the one thing that made Bill Belichick successful, to finish that sentence by saying, was that he had Tom Brady as his quarterback when he was winning all those games. And the reality is he has not won a playoff game since.
Well, so as you saw, I couldn't be on for the start of the segment because I just couldn't handle all this Belichick bashing because he's a genius, being that he went to Wesleyan University. But here's a stat that Hembo sent me. I think it's not just the Tom Brady aspect. Mac Jones did look good his rookie year. How good? Mac went 10-7 with a number 6 offense in the NFL as a rookie. And Josh McDaniels was his OC.
Yep.
Since then, he's had 3 different OCs. Like that, like in total, in his career, he's had 3 different OCs. And you just wonder, what are they doing to help this kid develop? And he was supposed to be the most ready QB, NFL-ready QB coming out the draft. And what we've seen is a regression. And that has to be on Belichick.
You don't wonder. They messed it up. They screwed him up. Like, you play for a defensive coordinator, and especially, and I get it, where they're coaches. It doesn't matter. You can't do that. And
now
you
bring Bill O'Brien. It's going to be fine.
It's going to take time. It's going to take time for him to develop any relationship.
I think the day and age, we're up against the bottom of an hour here, but the reason that people would say that is because they just trusted Bill, knew what he was doing, and that's my point. I think the time to say "in Bill we trust" has come and gone. In the meantime, did you hear what Aaron Rodgers said yesterday that he is planning to do?
Oh,
the only question is, Can even he possibly do it? We are looking forward to that, and we are always looking forward to this. We've got the pancakes in the room. Jeff Saturday's got them on the griddle.
Let's go.
And we're ready to hand them out as this hour continues.
Slap them pancakes.
That's going to be swagoo. That's swagoo right there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Bow.
Let's
bow.
Go.
Bow.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Back on Get Up, bottom of the hour. The next game is called Who You Got? So, Swagoo, we got Dallas and San Francisco. Who you got, Dak or Brock Purdy?
I'm taking Dakota Rams.
Okay.
You know why? Because he has to, man. Like, and we'll come away from. I don't have any other reason, y'all. Because he has to. Like I said before, the only way that I think the Dallas Cowboys can win this game is between Dak and his offensive line, and he's going to have to make 4 or 5 throws in this game to break this game in Dallas's favor. I think he's going to have a chance to do it, and I think he will do it.
Rams,
I think this might be my last time.
Rams and Eagles. Kmart, who you got, Jalen Hurts or Matthew Stafford?
Greeny, I'm going to say Jalen Hurts. Look, Jalen, I don't know. The offense, Jalen, hasn't looked exactly like he did last year. I'm waiting for them to kind of get it together. And when all else fails, we got the fish push. So I'm going with Jalen. He can score on that QBC.
Jeff, who you got, Zach Wilson or Russell Wilson in Denver?
Russell Wilson.
Huh. How dare you?
The barn burner against Chicago, 17 points in the fourth quarter. Russell Wilson, he had 7 incompletions, 3 touchdowns. He's back, baby. He's back. He's going to show up what's up. It's going to crush your dreams. I'm sorry to tell you, Russell Wilson's going to light it up this weekend.
Well, if by Russell Wilson you meant Zach Wilson, then I agree with you completely.
Do you know where you are, Jeff?
Speaking of Jets quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers on with McAfee yesterday talking about his progress from the Achilles. Listen.
There's nothing normal about how I'm attacking this rehab. There is common practices about 6 weeks in a boot, and I was in a shoe in like 13 days. Let's attack this rehab as hard as we can and then see where we're at in a couple months. And, obviously, you know, I'd like us to be alive and winning and for that even be in the conversation. But I don't think it hurts at all to put that into the manifestation zeitgeist.
Manifestations. Yes.
You know what he just said?
He gave Greeny hope. Oh, man.
He's coming back! Aaron's coming back! We're going to get him back, baby! Aaron is coming back! Be 500 by week 12, and Aaron is coming back! It's not over! It's not over, Swagoo! My dream, you hear Aaron? Manifestation! He's manifesting it! He's coming back! He's in a shoe in 13 days!
Yeah.
And week 12, be 500, and Aaron is coming back! Do you buy it?
Gee, I'm going to let you live in your moment.
At my moment!
It's never been done in the history of ever.
That's right.
And look, if he has an opportunity to come back because of what he said, I'll tell you what I did. Like on a serious note,
yeah,
I did like how Aaron talked about positive thinking and attacking this thing in a different way. Like what hasn't been done can be done. And it's only impossible for somebody to do it. I do believe all of that is a part. Y'all know all of that is a part of you healing and coming back rehab wise. It's a big psychological thing when you're trying to get your body back right. But you know,
but also,
I was just about to say, I'll leave it there.
It's a good psychological boost for his teammates.
Right.
Because what did we see? It wasn't Taylor Swift that had Zach Taylor playing really well. Zach Wilson. Playing really
it,
well.
Was
it was Aaron Rodgers
in the building
next to Woody with the chain. I think there's something about just Aaron's presence.
Presence.
And then them thinking like, if we keep this thing afloat, we get old boy back. This might be a different season.
Yeah, I mean, I
get old boy back.
That's the most valuable thing that he has is the hope that he's creating for himself and for his team. Yep. And I do think that pushing yourself that way helps. And the idea that they have something to look forward to, I think that helps Zach feel like, all right, just got to get my guys to here. It helps the whole defense, everybody out there. So that is value. Whether he's going to do it or not.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that creates value that he's talking about.
He's going to do it. Jeff, is he going to do it?
He's going to do it. Listen, Cam Akers, I'm just telling you, Cam Akers came back. He's a running back and came back really quickly from an Achilles.
Yes.
A quarterback, you know, who has played forever, understands what he needs to be able to do and accomplish to be able to throw that thing around. Listen, I ain't doubting that. I'm just saying.
I'm going to tell the truth.
Is it possible to come back?
No. What is the truth, Swagger?
Hell with it. I'm going to tell the truth. If he does come back, I'm going to be terrified. If he comes back, first of all, if he comes back, he's rushing it. Like, let's get serious for a second. And then I'm terrified because if you go back into a football game and you rupture it again, you done. That's retirement. That's a wrap. So I get it and I understand. And Aaron has done unconventional things like win two MVPs when people told him he sucked. I get it. But I think he needs to think about the New York Jets next year and how he can be as good as he can possibly be. Because him coming back may not be an impossibility, but him getting hit is going to happen. Yep. And him having to move is going to happen. And I just don't know if you can come back and sustain enough not to either re-rupture that thing or put yourself in major harm's way as far as your career if you want to continue to play more years. So, gee, I'm sorry.
No, I hear had you. To say but that. Here's what you ask yourself if you're him. He's so close to the end anyway. Is it worth rolling the dice if it looks like a team? I mean, take me back to Tom Brady's first year in Tampa. Mm-hmm. I want to say they were 500, into the season.
Yep. Yeah.
And then they got red hot and they went crazy. So if this is a team that is in contention in early December or something like that, if you're Rodgers, do you weigh the fact and you say to yourself, look, I roll the dice. I go in there, we catch lightning in a bottle, and maybe we set the world on fire and win a championship. If it blows again, you know, I was almost at the end anyway.
Maybe think about it that way. What you were describing is Zach Wilson is doing his job then.
Right, and that's a necessity.
Do you disrupt it all just to rush Aaron?
Hell yeah.
Heck yeah, man. Are you serious?
We disrupt it.
That's not a part of the equation. 500 and bring him back? Yeah.
The equation that Swagoo set out is the right one. The variable that we do not care about.
Yeah. No. We worried about Zach Wilson, how good he's playing. He's going to the bench. Aaron Rodgers is coming in.
But you risk Aaron Rodgers hurting himself.
That's in the equation. Yeah. What's not in the equation is let's stick with the hot hand. That's foolishness in all scenarios.
It won't be hot. Hey, no. barely holding on.
We were having a conversation in the break. There was a question on Twitter polls yesterday. Okay.
Right.
What do you say before you know you about to F up?
Right.
And some people say it is what it is. And some people say YOLO. Okay. If Aaron is able to come back, if doctors clear Aaron Rodgers to come back, Aaron Rodgers is going to come back, and Aaron Rodgers is going to say, you know what? Hey, cuz, it is what it is.
It is what it is. And it's exactly right.
Robert Saleh finds himself saying, hey, but he got a hot hand, and you are about to do something. Don't worry about the heat of nobody's hands. That man got four MVPs.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. We are manifesting this stuff. We're talking it into reality. We're making this happen. We are manifesting this, and we're going to make. Here we go. Oh, we haven't done done this in a long time. You thought I had forgotten. You thought I had forgotten. No, 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 no. We are. This is it. Brandon, come stand and just hold this for the rest of the show. That's it.
Just hold this held.
We're just for the rest of the show. Aaron is just going to be with us. That's all there is to it. We are manifesting this. We are making it happen. That's it. So Aaron is coming back. Week 12. Okay. If the Jets are 500, mark my words, it's going
to
happen.
Greeny is preaching out here. I need him to
good
stop
heavens.
Talking.
I am 100% in. All right, Brandon, you just stay here for the rest of the show. In the meantime, much more NFL as we continue, but let's get to the college football. We have hit the halfway part of the college season, and Georgia is still the top dog. They started the season number one and currently have the best odds to win the title at plus 310. They play their first ranked opponent of the year this week against Kentucky. Michigan, meanwhile, not far behind them at plus 375. Their strength of schedule to date has been 113th in the country, but they've looked dominant, allowing just 6 points per game. And then the third best odds to win it all, a tie between Ohio State and Texas at plus 750. Both have the best wins of the season, road wins at Notre Dame and Alabama, respectively. And so here they are, Heather and Paul, always here with the insight that we need. And so let's look at this Texas-Oklahoma game. Always a monster game on the schedule, but this year it feels like everything is at stake. Heather, which of these teams needs a win more?
Well, Greeny, in the court of public opinion, it would be Texas and Steve Sarkisian because this program is so desperate to be nationally elite again. And they're off to a 5-0 start for the first time since 2009, which is significant. But for playoff perspective, Oklahoma absolutely needs this more because this could be the only ranked opponent that they face during the regular season. That's critical on Selection Day when the College Football Playoff Selection Committee is reviewing these resumes. So the difference is Texas went to Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama, which is still one of the most impressive wins in the country. If Texas loses this game and finishes as a one-loss Big 12 champ, they still have an excellent chance to impress the selection committee and finish in the top four.
Texas is 6.5-point favorite. Paul, are they on upset alert this weekend?
I don't think so. And one point to add to what Heather said, don't forget, Oklahoma was on OU schedule. Excuse me, Georgia was on OU schedule in Norman, but because of the SEC expansion, that went off the board. However, I think Texas is a superior team to Oklahoma. I think they have them across the board. They're more physical on both sides of the line. They have the better quarterback. They have the better coaching staff. This is a huge rivalry, and Oklahoma has revenge on its mind after just being eviscerated last year, Greeny. But I think Texas is in good shape in this game.
All right, so we'll see what happens in that one. In the meantime, we've made it to October. We're working our way closer and closer to these rankings coming out. As of this moment, Paul, give me your CFP top four.
Well, I would start with Georgia. I know everybody wants to beat up on them, but they're still number one in my book. Ohio State escaped against Notre Dame. They're still around. And then, obviously, Florida State has such impressive wins at Clemson and against LSU. And I really like Texas because of what Heather said, that win at Alabama.
George and Heather?
We're on different pages, Paul. I've got Florida State number one, Texas number two, Georgia number three, because not even Kirby Smart knows how good this team is yet. And at number four, I've got Washington because they're the most complete team in the country. And for everyone saying, whoa, wait a minute, where's the Big Ten? I've got Ohio State on the bubble at number five because of that Notre Dame win. And Michigan right now, as good as they've been, and J.J. McCarthy's the best quarterback in the Big Ten, they're 113th right now in strength of schedule, according to ESPN analytics.
All right, that will obviously change substantially. They'll play Penn State, they'll play Ohio State, and they will get their chance to play their way into it. Quickly, Paul, rumors of the demise of our friend Mr. Saban, they've been out there. Have they been greatly exaggerated? Has he silenced the questions and their critics headed into a big game with A&M?
Greeny, I don't know who in the world would have written Nick Saban off. Certainly not me. But yes, they're coming back well. I like what I'm seeing out of Alabama. I mean, Saban has resorted to his old self. I mean, he's screaming and hollering, throwing things. And I think there's a reason for that. Marcus understands it. He played for Saban. Saban was, I think, tentative about this team. They just weren't maturing. Now they're showing some signs. So it's back to being the old Nick Saban, which is bad news for everyone.
Heather?
I want to tell you, right before I came on TV with you, Greeny, I talked to Jimbo Fisher, and the matchup is up front. I'm tempted to pick the Aggies in this game. 15 tackles Cardinals for loss. Alabama's offensive line has had issues. I think this is a 50-50 game. Could go either way.
It's going to be a really good one. Guys, awesome as always. Thank you. We'll check in as the week goes on. Great week of college football ahead, including the 119th annual Red River Rivalry game. It's Oklahoma. It's Texas at the Cotton Bowl. It's noon Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. Coming up, it was a pitiful performance on Sunday. Are the Steelers in trouble? Does Mike Tomlin need to make major changes? We'll answer all those burning questions next. And then they are ready. We didn't burn the pancakes this morning.
No, we did.
Jeff and Nika ready to dish them up, and they're coming up next.
Still warm. Still warm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
And we are back on Get Up. The squad is here and the game is called Hold'em or fold them. Here we go. Swagoo, let's start with the Giants. Is it time to hold them or fold them?
It is time to fold the D-man. Did y'all watch that game the other day? I watched it. And Daniel Jones, their $40 million a year quarterback, is not worth $40 million based on what you're supposed to do from that position. The Seattle Seahawks made this team look obviously terrible, but more importantly, your quarterback is not the guy that y'all thought he was from last year.
Jeff, Bengals, hold him or fold him?
Ooh, time to fold him. This was ugly. And listen, now you've got Jamar Chase. Yeah, he's in the media talking about he's open, and he's especially open. We'll just leave it at that.
Yes.
And we can't get the ball to him. And we got a quarterback that's banged up. And when you hear the offensive line talk about we have to be perfect, I'm not sure what's going on, but you wouldn't think you had to be perfect with Joe Burrow back there. I think that injury is more than is being led on. That's a problem.
Kmart, Steelers, hold them or fold them?
I'm going to say hold them. I know. You know why? Because I feel like recently, every year, we say that the Steelers are not going to have a chance to make the playoffs or they're done early. And somehow, Mike Tomlin, despite not having good QB play, not having good O-line play, they somehow still managed to be relevant in the end. So I'm going to say hold them.
But look, I mean, the Steelers, they've been terrible in their losses. Their offenses look terrible. The whole world wants their offensive coordinator fired. But in keeping with the point there, I mean, they're still 2-2.
Yeah.
And we talk about the Steelers like they're 0-4. They're a 2-2 team that just needs to figure it out. Now, can they figure it out?
I think they can, but it's going to be relying on the defense. I don't think the offense is going to be as good as we had hoped. We had expectations that the O-line would be better. We had expectations that Kenny Pickett would be better and Pickens would make a lot of big plays. None of that stuff is really happening right now. So I'm not sure that they can be as competitive as we wanted them to be. But, yeah, I think Kmart is right. That's the one team in that group that we talked about that is not all over for yet. We've seen that they have the pedigree, and they still got T.J. Watt on the other side of the ball.
I was about to say 90.
He's going to win you a couple games.
90 still there.
Well, the burning question, if you feel me with that, is how can we turn the offense? Everybody talked about Kenny Pickett playing so well at the end of last season. That's not the truth. They were 7-2. They ran the ball almost 35 times and had about 50, you know, per game. They're rushing it for 78 yards. There's no quick fix to that. That is the Steelers' mantra, and that's how the Steelers win football games. Kenny Pickett ain't going to bring you victories. You have got to make this a physical football team. And Houston beat the brakes off of them physically. They blocked them. They pushed them around. That is unheard of for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what Tomlin's going to change in that locker room.
Why, Marcus? Marcus,
the burning question, Marcus, help us.
Take us.
That's a Marcus bobblehead that we just saw there. Why? Why does it look like this?
Because this is the problem with the NFL. I want my young quarterback to be a star before he's ready to be one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're talking about, Jeff. It's written all over the Pittsburgh Steelers. We had all of this excitement. Mac Jones, first year, rookie year. Hey, we got a guy.
Right.
Let's go out there. Next year, he's going to take this other jump. This league is hard. And I tell people all the time, when people got a book on you, when these defenses and these defense coordinators get a sample size of who you are, they are throwing the kitchen sink at you to take away all of the things that you do well. One, we know there's offensive line woes. We know Matt Canada is not the greatest play caller in the NFL. All of those things matter. Jeff, you brought up the point, though. I will say against the Houston Texans, there was a time in that game when Najee Harris was running the ball really well.
Yes.
And they got away from it. But, gee, it's because we sit on these damn shows, and we know you need a quarterback, and we know he got to play at a very high level in order for you to win a Super Bowl. Kenny Pickett is not there yet.
Right.
You have to have more for this kid than him just dropping back and throwing a pick.
And it feels like the whole world wants him to make a change on his staff, particularly
on
the offensive side.
Why? Especially because for the last couple of years, Tomlin has hinted, oh, there's going to be change. Oh, change is coming. And then it's the same thing. So I think people are tired of the same script with the Steelers. And unfortunately, if T.J. Watt is not on the field, they have no chance. Like, that is what it's come down to, and it shouldn't feel like that every season.
He's the most important player on the team. The squad is all intact. The Aaron Rodgers jersey is staying with us for the entirety of the day as we manifest it. And right now, it's time for the pancakes. Woo!
Yeah!
Pancakes is one of our favorite things.
So let me show you how I'm going to get this thing started.
Right. Right. We back, baby!
Don't throw me, don't throw me! Oh, we
got to get him up!
Get some!
Light them blue!
That's how we start this off.
Let's go!
It's a thing of beauty.
You can't stop us! Dominique Foxworth just spanked pancakes on Get Up.
We are back! You got to love that!
Take it on this.
Here we go. We like it so much now. We do it twice a week.
Two times?
Handing out the pancakes. Let's do it.
Because everybody loves when the big boys lay them out. Swagoo in particular likes to see people put the hammer down. We're starting in Tennessee. Let's check out my first pancake of a Wednesday. Swagoo, check it out. We're waiting.
We're waiting.
Here we go. Look right here. We're going to take them. We're going to finish them. Put them down. Oh, yes. That's the run. That's the finish. That's the finish. That's what I'm going to see. It's not just about the block. It's about the finish of the block. Make sure you embarrass them. Hey, the parents up in the stands and say, take my son out the game. Take him out the game. Nope. He's stuck in there, Mom. Sorry. One pancake. The finish was absolutely pretty. Got to love it. Bring it up my next one.
Come on, Swag.
We already got two pancakes down.
Yeah.
We got some extra.
Hey,
watch this right here. Watch him take this up. Oh, no. But he's not done. He was in his re-roll when he went to get him again. That's my favorite part. I love it.
He was filming him up.
He wasn't done. He wasn't done. Got him one time. I'm going to get him again. Yeah. He knows going back to film. That's what we look for. Big boys laying hat on first. I absolutely love it. Look at it right here. Hands down, head back. Just gave him a roll. Two pancakes on it. Swagger, that's nasty up there. And that's athletic. You look how big he was up there. Final one of the day, Swagoo. Final one of the day. Guess what we're going to get right here? Come inside. No, sir! Don't do it.
I saw that
Don't do it. They love to get creative out here. Don't get creative. You get creative, we're going to put the hammer down on you. Ain't nothing better. Hey, from a guard to a tackle, center to a guard, nothing more fun than when a defensive end spins inside and sees nothing except your helmet in his chest and him going to his back. Just get up, smack him on the hill, and be like, maybe next time, little man. There you go, three pancakes for that finish.
That's my beloved Northwestern Wildcat taking that one there.
All right. The worst one. You don't hit him.
In the roll.
His revenge as we continue. Hey, did you hear what Jerry had to say about the big matchup Sunday night in San Francisco? You will, and we'll tell you what it means as we clean up. Get up on ESPN.
Come on, Steve.
We need more fights in football, man.